fanzine. It's based on, it's like a boxing theme. It's not boxing, it's like struggles of life. Yeah. So it's 12 rounds, 12 people. And Joey and I are the corner people. So it's really about taking really fascinating and interesting people and finding out about the struggle in their life and where we are now and like that.
Yeah, I know. You know, that's what Joey had told me about it. And I thought that I knew it was pretty genius. But then you made me falling apart because I said if I took boxing, it's because I don't see in life things like one hurdle, one. I could not find one hurdle like one after the other.
Oh, it's just the idea.
What? So, yeah, I know it's just that, you know, you start somewhere.
Yes.
Because I always think it's like dreaming something, you think it's bad. Perhaps I'm very optimistic because perhaps I'm very pessimistic, really.
Right,
so I think this is going to turn into something nice and whatever.
Of course, something beautiful with something. You, are you kidding?
No. So I was thinking, oh my God, those hurdles. Of course, we all have, I was starting, you know, there was a thing. I have the feeling I lived a lot of things. I was born at the end of the war. But I had the feeling that I lived the war.
Yeah.
A little.
Where were you born?
In the mountains, in Jura, in France.
Yes.
And you know, it's where, at the end of the war, there has been a lot of, there was a lot of the resistance there. And I got father where the parents were in the woods, so they were there and met. And it has been terrible at that time, at the end, because the Germans were going back to, we are going back to Germany, we were to escape. So they were burning everything on their case. So they have been, so I've, you know, so they have had this feeling coming from there.
Well, that's a struggle.
That's a struggle, but it's not like really a struggle, it's something reminiscent, you think you have lived somewhere. And then, on the other hand, like I can be in the middle, like I was not so long ago, in the desert of Abu Dhabi, the antique waters, which is the biggest desert in the world, and I find it fascinating. And then I feel that I was there too.
Okay, are you picking this up already?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was, you know, and the feeling there was down, and you know, the time of those.
Did you ever know Valley Myers? Valley Myers, artist, Australian, lived in Paris after the war. She would be quite a bit older, but she had the, you know, the black eyes, the tattooed face.
Yeah, but no, I did not.
Never ran
because
into her.
You know, because, I mean, there is still a thing. I was born just after that happened. So, so if she was there.
Yes.
No, and then I was a lot here in New York when I started discovering how great it was. You know, the thing was like May 68, and I don't feel like a hurdle.
On May Day 68?
Yeah, I was May 68 in Paris, and after that I thought, this is over, because you believe there was something.
Did you know Jacques-Luc Godard?
I knew Jean-Luc Godard, I always say, everything about style I have is because Tony Goddard, if he has smoke all the time, it's because of him. Because if I would be sing over and over and everybody looks so good, it's here. And at that time there was Truffaut, there were... I have been a very Deleuzian person. Gilles Deleuze, the philosopher, you know, so I was by accident in his class. All this story about you deep, this was like... the thing that came out of that, that was not you know, this time, so...
And I see you're tattooed.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had tattoos. Oh my God, very nice. Who did the tattoos?
So that was 20, because I lived after that in LA, after between LA and New York for 29 years.
Okay, what years would this be about?
From 79...
Oh, good year.
To 2003. Now I'm in Europe, I'm coming back all the time here. And I know the New York you are talking about. I know what you did. I know it's so interesting and it's what it was. And now it's something else.
That's true.
It's something else. And you said you wanted to live the east side.
Yes, that's
here,
right.
But you are here.
That's right.
Sitting on this bench.
Exactly.
So it's
an addiction.
Yeah.
Did you ever know the Liu family? The tattoo artist? Philip
no.
Liu? No, okay.
No, because this I got it. In LA, I had the trouble to get those tattoos. Because at that time, there was still the traditional tattoo, did not want to do on the finger.
Right, that's right, that's right.
Yeah, and the other one wanted to do their own design. What I've always been revolting me because I don't want to have like some kind of Hawaiian whatever.
Yeah, you're your own style.
It doesn't look like me.
That's
I'm
right.
Well,
I agree.
But I do. That's anyway, finally, going to Palm Springs, and because there was no tattoo parlor in Palm Springs, there was no Palm Springs, there was a biker where and there was a guy who was there and he said, oh, thank God I don't have to be a bitch group again. So, and he did this twice.
Nice.
And this after that, it's just a fun in the house that we had to do the line. Yeah, we bought the machine.
But
it didn't go farther than that.
So let me ask you a question. Like when I found after 9/11 in New York, style just kind of eliminated. All kids, like before that, you used to have like punk and goth and grunge, and you had all these extreme individuality. And after 9/11, everything kind of went just straight. Everybody went like really conservative. I mean, it's really not until now that I'm starting to see kids with like different colored hair and more extreme fashion. New York kind of lost that edge for a long time. Did Paris do the same thing?
Paris lost it before, and Paris lost it. The kids in Europe that are happening is in London.
Yes.
And in London, there is even more stuff. New York now is difficult. You have to go. You have to go farther than here to find like people having more style because it has been gentrified. So,
yes.
You know, when you are here, it's like one closing store after the other.
Yes.
And I'm saying it with joke because I'm working on one. but it's, you know, it's not the same thing. You don't have the place to go. But.
And also before you had even like cheap became part of fashion because you could go to these different places which were inexpensive. And if you had style, like you have style, you could buy things and give yourself style. Now everything is just about money and all the little places where to get the unique stuff is gone. Do you find that?
Yeah, but this is something, there is still those places where people could. And I'm about time, we were going like out of the boat getting, Europe getting from the American, like the dressers from the 40s and making mixing up with something with a Mao jacket because we thought we are going to make some kind of evolution singing away. And but it's the same thing, it's because they cannot afford the rent or it's difficult to find. You know, when I run today and I arriving, you know, like 2 weeks ago, and I go, but filled at clothes. That was something to me that was staying from the day. Patricia Field, she had the thing. And
who was that?
Patricia Field.
Patricia Field.
Patricia Field, of course.
Of course.
Of course. She sell my ads.
Yeah, but
many years ago.
Yeah. So I don't know how we can find it. It's everything now. I think, you know, it's because the internet people saw the image, they know where they can buy it. That thing has changed, the image, everything that is we are finding in thrift store is coming back, but it's under the Saint Laurent label or Gucci.
Right.
But the kids, the rich kids that are buying this, they think they are discovering something.
Right.
I don't know.
Would you say that style is probably based on a person's, not necessarily how they dress, but on their experience? So like style really comes from what a person has experienced in their life, whether it was, you know, where they grew up or the people they were around, because so much of how trends and these things start in certain communities, could be a basketball court in the Bronx. It could be, you know, somewhere where the style is the experience.
For me, I know where it started. The first time I went in North Africa, I was a late teenager. And when I saw those Berber women, you know, it was sitting on their knees with a headscarf full of wrinkles and looking so beautiful. And that, you know, some that has elephant skin. I know somewhere I thought, wow, this is beautiful, like you can show me any kind of other image. There was something, there was a path, there was a story. I'm very attracted to this part of the image. You know, I'm very the 1001 night. And somewhere deep down, I think if I don't tell a story, that they are going to cut my throat. So I have to keep going. But somewhere, it's all by instinct, it's by looking, but I know the thing that what is the dress or what is the thing is looking somewhere what you want to say.
But you've always had style. I mean, you are style.
Yeah, but you can.
I mean, everything about you, you can see that.
Yeah, so it's why he has nothing to do with your clothes.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that helps. I'm happy it's with the...
It's your soul.
It's the soul.
Yes.
And we see this, so sometimes, you know, perhaps all of a sudden there will be something completely different in New York that's coming up. So you are going to be the one to push it. One last push, kick those out.
That's
no?
Right, that's right.
I would be interesting to see.
Yes, well, we're working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So what are the plans?
Well, we got the fanzine. I'm working on bringing out more caps. We got a boxing glove with Joey.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to take over territory, you know, conceptual thoughts.
Exactly. But you know, this place has something so real.
This space.
Yeah, this
space. It's beautiful. Yes.
It's beautiful.
Absolutely. No,
so
I agree.
Then
this place has soul. You can feel it. Yeah, number 9, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's why we
go. So Clayton spent a lot of time here before us. So he can even tell you a little bit kind of before us what this building was. Yeah, he...
Yeah, this was like the Yippies, and they were like actually a youth international party. It was very sort of political, very sort of pro-pot, marijuana. But it also had a style. They always had really good artists draw their posters and things. So they incorporated a lot of art because this was downtown and it had the flavor. You know, next door you had Robert Frank.
Yeah.
You had CBGBs down the block.
The CBGB, yeah.
Yeah, so this place was... Everything was here.
Yeah.
You know, Pat Fields was down on 8th Street.
Yes.
Yeah, you had all of this stuff here. So you had that whole flavor. And that's why it's so refreshing to see somebody like you, because it brings back the flavor, because the flavor is missing and we're hoping to bring it back.
Okay, so I need to sit here forever.
I hope so.
Okay, and you stay all year. No,
yes.
Yeah.
But that's what we're hoping for. I mean, we really need people like you to be here to kind of like bring back that spirit, you know. I mean, we'll see what happens, but that's the game.
All right, so I'm in.
There you go. All right, all right.
What, how did you get into boxing?
There was a technical reason. Because I know I had a problem at a leg, but I didn't want to. I want to deal with it with my head. And it was at a point that I could not run forward. I could only run on the side. And I wanted to exercise, I always went to the gym, so, and it was good for my head. And there was the Wild Card Boxing Club in LA when I was there. So I went there and I was training there, because then, you know, in boxing you walk this way, so the, and then you sort of have the point because this leg was certainly shorter, so I was just fine. It looked like I had nothing. So that was one thing. And then, of course, mainly it was, I needed the challenge to be in front of somebody.
Right, somebody aggressive.
Yeah, and you know, with this kind of thing that has rules and the coordination, and the fun, and so for 2 years, going there at the Wild Card, they didn't know who I was. And they were calling me Frenchie, I was the only tourist, and you know, and there is a scene there which is amazing because Freddie Roach was Parkinson. He cannot drive a car. When he gets out of the ring, he's like this. He got in the ring, he's one of those champions, he's fine. I mean, this is, you know, I had the Pepper, and all those characters. James Toney at the time was, when he started, he was big and he was training there. So you had him coming with all the blonde, like this, all the diamonds and everything. Then you have the other one, everybody's a champ. This has been a champ, 5 minutes, one day, or forever. So I started this, I really loved it, and there is certainly, it's not the romance, I don't know what is very attracting, the challenge to you, like to be in shape, or the...
Does the rhythm, of boxing, like does the rhythm of boxing and the rhythm of art and the rhythm of design and the rhythm of life, kind of, how do they all kind of intersect, the rhythm of it all?
Yeah, but here, for example, you have a rhythm that is sort of loose. When you go to the wild card, whatever happened, whatever you have to do, when the gong rings, you have to stop of whatever you do. And when you are, there was this thing, like, you know, it was red, or everybody was buying the newspaper, throwing everything away, everything in the sports section, and then just the boxing. It's like the life was hit by those 3 minutes. And we are going to just... Yeah, I'm sure it's soothing, and it's and when you start feeling good in your body and empowered, and it was not to... I didn't know how to back at somebody. That was the fear I wanted to do, to overcome.
Oh, nice.
But it's more like to escape, because there is a lot of things that is like ballet.
Yeah.
Right, that's right.
And you know, when you have those little, I'm not talking about heavyweight,
right.
Vegas trying to boom, but otherwise, it's
you look like you're in good shape. Do yoga? You do yoga too? Or
no, I'm like, I'm not good at yoga. Yoga do the opposite. One time I went to a big class of yoga. I was coming the street, I don't know, somebody said to me, I slapped him. When he never,
Yeah, because you're in very good
but
shape.
But I loved, yeah, because I box, I go to the gym. You know, when you are starting in Paris, here I have so much fun that I come here, I don't even train. I walk, but I still exercise. And eating well and thinking we owe this to ourselves. To sing a song. Yeah. I love that scene of jumping the thing. Yeah.
So the bench here, right?
Yes.
And kind of the bench has kind of come to symbolize this kind of what this place kind of is, and just at any moment. It could just be the guy sitting on the bench. It could be a famous actor. Today that guy was sitting here, Jonah Hill. It could be the leader of the Yippies, Dana Beale, gave a speech when power was running. It could be you guys sitting here. This bench has really just come to symbolize kind of the meeting spot and just relaxing and watching people. And
I mean, it's a magic spot. They've had like James Earl Jones come through, Will Smith. It has that flavor, you know, that it's like you, and it gives a feeling, an attraction.
So
you know?
This location had this magic because it was there already before, and you knew that when you came here, or you have from the neighborhood?
Yeah.
Well, that's part of what I always get onto Joey about. Yeah. I say that magic is something that you have to respect and you can't really force it. And right now the magic is here. So you have to really accept that, appreciate it, and love that because it's not always here. You know, magic is ephemeral and disappears. And right now that magic is here. And when the magic is here, you have to work as hard as you can, do as much as you can, and keep that thing moving because it leaves. You know, I mean, for a while it's London, for a while it's L.A., for a while it's New York.
Yeah, cities.
And right now the bench is one of those benchmarks. And so since you have that,
you have to really respect that. And one of the problems with having it is it feels like it'll always be there. And then all of a sudden, poof, it's gone. You know, like you said with May Day 68, all of a sudden, boom, everything was there, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's gone.
Yeah.
And that's what's here right now. And that's why I always sort of push Joey and say, Joey, you have to work really hard now because the magic is here. And it's been a while since New York downtown has had the magic.
Yes, so you think this is the only place right now?
Yeah, it has that. It has that quality.
Yeah, that quality.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my God,
does.
We have to...
We have to respect that, appreciate it, and stay strong with that, because all of a sudden one day it'll be gone. You know, like I had different periods of fame, and it's like all of a sudden it's over. Phone stops ringing, things stop. You know?
And it seems like
I'm here. It's gonna be like this forever, and then all of a sudden poof. You know, one day it's Oprah, the next day it's nobody. And that's how it is. And right now, the magic is here.
Yeah, that's why. Because somebody can come with cash and say, I want this place for me, not knowing they are going to kill it, but...
See, just having you on the bench is perfect.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because it represents that. And you know, Robert Frank, when they moved in here, he thought, oh my God, I got neighbors, I'm going to hate my neighbors. Yeah. And all of a sudden, because of Joey's got, you know, the right personality and like that, all of a sudden Robert Frank is here. He's part of the magic. He loves it here in June.
I know. Yeah, I saw them talking together.
Yeah.
And he's greedy when he comes in. And
that's magic.
Yeah, that's magic.
So that's hard to grab.
Yeah.
Yeah. And right now it's here. I feel it. You hear that, Joey?
Okay, be strong. That's why you have to train it.
Yeah,
already.
That's why you have to keep it rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
And what you think it's important, because it's also a phase where everybody wants to be rich, but it's more than ever that everybody.
Yeah, it's a soul.
So that's because that brings your soul out. So
yes.
It's important that there is a boxing thing, whether
and
that tie in with like all the romance and all, you know.
And this is like, has the enthusiasm, it has the vibration, it also has youth and it has elderly. Like from Robert Frank down to kids.
Yes, that's where it's the magic.
That's New York,
that's
the magic part.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's the best part of New York. When you have that soul, that magic, that moment, when you're going from like 80s to the teens, that's something there that you can't buy, you can't make it happen, it just happens. And right now, the bird of paradise is here.
Hola!
Hola! Yeah, I believe that. I can feel it. I mean, how else would you be here?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's fun because so when I am here, I live at the Bowery Hotel.
Yeah.
That for some kind of good spirit too.
Is it?
And it's why I found it great, because you only opened a year ago and I've been coming yesterday and it opened in 9 years.
Wow.
So I came here, but when Rick came for 3 days and he arrived from the airport, I just wanted to, we came here, you are not here. We passed by here, not that he would stop on the ground, but that was to me, it was here you are. Here they are. Is this where we are? That's, you know, instantly late because you wanted to walk the blocks.
So I want to make sure we take some pictures. So let me just make sure I've got it okay here.
Can you take a couple pictures?